Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Frankfurt. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, because it's almost like I want to sit with you as young adults. A little while ago, I was preaching in New York, and the pastor's wife there, who's about 30, said to me, "Oh, it's so good to have you in my life as a mother in the faith." And I went, "Oh, more as a peer." And then I got back to my hotel room, and the Holy Spirit convicted me no end and said, "Jen, own your season." So Nana's here. Grandma's here tonight. You ready? Grandmother, mother of the house. And I really want to talk to you as young adults, okay? I want to set a foundation for you tonight that you can live on for the next 30 years. I was in youth. I was in church at your age. And I want to share with you tonight what I think will set you up. Is that good?
Yeah.
So I've called, I might have to wear these spectacles. Thank you. Now I can actually read it. To stop for a second. The hand of God's on your life. Yeah, you that's going like that. Yeah. So what nationality are you? German? Stand up for a second. What is your name? Robin. Robin, the anointing of God is all over you. And you are tossing up within your heart a number of avenues for your future. And God would say the hand of God is on your life for ministry. And you know it in your heart, but you don't particularly like it. But that's okay. Because if the sacrifice was not paid, it wouldn't be fair. And I just felt God wanted to single you out tonight. Actually, as you walked in the door, I said to Alice, "Who's that?" And I met you before. But God wants to encourage you that his hand is on your life and he's going to work it all out. And you don't have to make it happen. It will fall into place. Right? You've had your moment of glory. Sit down. Okay. Das ist gut. Okay. That's about the limit of my German. So I've entitled my message tonight, Thirsty. I feel such a moron with these on. Can you use that word in Germany? Oh, because I keep getting trouble all over the world for things that shouldn't be said in certain places. This generation is a thirsty generation. And a British word, thirsty. When you say someone's thirsty, it means they're needy. Or they're thirsty. They need attention. They need this. They need that. They need the other. And one thing that I've really noted about your generation is you're thirsty. You're thirsty for experience. You're thirsty for holidays. You're thirsty for sex. Nana's here. Grandma's here tonight. I can talk about these things. You're thirsty for some stuff that's good for you and a lot of stuff that's not. And I believe as Christians that we need to make such a stand on the things that are important to us. And we need to stand out. They're already shuffling in their seats. There's a shuffle going on. We can make our biggest successes and our biggest mistakes in our youth. And we can make some really bad directional choices in our youth that can stuff up the rest of our lives. And so I really want to talk to you tonight about making great decisions, about setting your feet in really good places as a young adult. I'm going to talk to you about some of my experiences when I was a young woman and where I found myself. We can sensationally build for our tomorrow or spectacularly bankrupt our future. And we can do both in our youth. And so really it's our choice as to what we choose to do. Bankrupt our future or set ourselves up incredibly for what God has for our lives. I found myself in the house of God at your age. Actually, I was planning a church at your age across the world 10,000 miles from home. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1, it says, honour God. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honour him in your youth before you grow old, like me, and you say life is not pleasant anymore. It says, honour him in your youth before you grow old, and then you will say life is not pleasant anymore because you didn't honour him in your youth. It's so important. This is a generation that wants encounter and wants an experience. And we can run after experience before we run after encounter. And we've got to run after encounter with God before we get experience. And your whole generation is telling you, experience, experience, experience. Experience, experience. Don't give up your youth for Jesus. Do something when you're older. Stop that already. God wants to get a hold of your generation. And people say, well, I've got to travel the world. I've got to do this, that, and the other before I settle down and I serve God. I'd never left Australia till I moved to England to serve God. I just sat on, I could still be sitting on a beach now and 3,000 people wouldn't be in church. Come on. They're quaking in their boots. God wants you to experience the reality of the unseen realm. He wants to show you his power, his presence, his strength, and he wants to break strongholds and bondages over your life. When I was a young woman, I encountered God in the supernatural realm in the most amazing way because I found myself in church. I'll tell you a little bit about my time as a young woman. And when I was like probably 15 to 18 years old, I was in a church in Brisbane and there was probably 800 young adults. It was a move of God in Australia. And we used to have all-night prayer meetings, believing for you. Because the generation before you believed for you and the generation before me believed for me. And I remember my mum writing a letter to the pastor complaining when I was 16 that I was in an all-night prayer meeting and I thought I could have been doing a lot worse. And God used to turn up. And I remember when I was a teenager, I would spend an hour at the altar on my knees weeping before God, crying out for God to use my life. You know, crying out for God to come and touch me, crying out for God to change me and do something in me. And this is the experience that God wants to give you. And we can take the counterfeit of thirst for something else. We can take the counterfeit of sex outside marriage. We can take the counterfeit of running off and going traveling every weekend somewhere else and not being in the house of God. Get your feet under the seats. Yeah. I'm coming direct tonight, aren't I? But that's what you want. You don't want someone up here just tickling your ears. You want to hear how it is and how you touch God. I remember moments in youth camps when Dave and I were young, and that we were young at one point, when Dave and I were young and people, demons were screaming and coming out of people at the altar. It was just the most amazing thing. People getting saved and baptized in the Spirit on the one night. Just coming into church, radically encountering Jesus and getting saved. I'm praying tonight that I put that thirst in you for your friends. Yeah. That I put that thirst in you tonight for your city. And it takes a life that is deliberately sacrificial for Jesus. You sit here tonight because Siobhan and Steve decided to move across here. Yeah. Do you know? Because they created a place for you. And we want to create a place, don't we, for a city tonight, for a generation tonight that is out there thirsty, trying to fill their lives with all the artificial things that will never fill the hunger in their soul. And you sit here tonight and you are actually the answer. You're the answer if you would choose to put your feet under the counter and be involved. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is a search found through the doorway of your heart and not through an intellectual encounter. How do we do that? Because we try to come to God and we're trying to work it all out. And from what I can gather, and I don't understand the German culture completely, but there's a lot of trying to touch God through the intellect. And the only way you can ever really encounter God is through your spirit, because it's your spirit that recognizes the power of God. And the only way you can be filled with the power of God is to open your spirit. It makes no sense to your head. And I'm not saying you have to park up your intellect forever. My husband is the smartest man on the planet. But you know, there was a time when Dave lay crying at the altar in church saying, God, would you touch my heart? Will you touch my heart? Will you change my heart? Will you soften my heart? Will you take the sin out of my heart? Is anybody with me tonight? Will you come and do something so powerful within me when I'm young that it changes the rest of my life? I have not suffered from serving God now for 33 years since I got married when I was 19. I have not suffered. God has blessed my life. I'm still alive. Last time I looked okay. I have not suffered from laying down my life on the altar and saying, God, will you take what I've got? Will you take my story? Will you take my life? And my family has not suffered. And my son is serving God with all his heart. We're trying to get him up here, guys. We're trying so hard to get him up here. Hasn't been home for 2 years. Where was I? So we fix our eyes, like I said, not on what is unseen, but what is seen. I love this verse in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, 14. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you find me when you search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. When I was 17, a preacher came to our church, and it was the first time this preacher had ever preached outside his church. And he pulled me out a little bit like I did with you tonight, Robin. And he prophesied this verse over me. I've got to keep putting my glasses on. It's just dreadful. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. It says, call unto me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And you know who that preacher was? First time he'd ever preached outside his church when I was 17. And his name was Brian Houston. And he prophesied over me when he was 17. He said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I'm wanting to ignite a hunger in your heart tonight for the things of God, that your thirst is moved from world experience to God experience. I remember when I was 17 and when I was 16, just before I was 17, my father suddenly died and I went through a very hard season. And I remember I would come home from work every night and lay on my bed and cry out to God at 17, God, if you're real, God, if you love me, will you show me your love? Will you show me your presence? And it got so incredible that I would come home from work every day and it was like the Holy Spirit himself was sitting on the end of my bed waiting for me. And I had such an encounter with God when I was 17 and it changed me forever. It changed my heart. It changed my passions. I was going to be an international athlete. I was. That's what I was going to do. And I've got the two artificial hips to pay for the price of all that running now. But I ended up in Bible college when I was 18 because I cried out to God, show me the plan for my life. Will you get a hold of my heart? Hello, anybody out there? God wants to get a hold of you and get a hold of your life. Okay. The enemy's greatest weapon to us entering this realm is condemnation and not understanding his grace. We think, well, God, I could never come into your presence. Have you seen what I have done? But that's why Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross to make a bridge between you and him. And when we come to him, he doesn't see anything you've done. He just sees your potential. He wants to change your life. The enemy tells you his grace does not extend to you. But that is the power of the cross and the power of redemption. One of my favorite scriptures in Psalm 18. He reached down from on high and he took a hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters and he rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes, from my sins, from my thirst, who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. Jesus tonight stands in front of God and pleads to God for you. He cancels out your sin. He stands to break through for you tonight by confronting your enemies. But also the other thing that stops us from really entering the presence of God is a sense of, well, God, you're going to cramp my style. God, if I give my life to you, God, if I put my feet under the table and stop filling my life with all the thirst, you are so boring, God. I could honestly say I have never been bored. I have never been bored being married to Dave Gilpin for a second. I have never been bored serving God because he's just dishing up more stuff to do all the time. But I really felt tonight, and I want you to come with me now, I wanted to talk to you about our attitude as a generation to restriction. The previous generation, every generation has its pluses and its minuses. You know, some of the things your generation is dealing with, my generation didn't. And some of the things my generation dealt with, your generation isn't. You won't have to do what Dave and I did. You won't have to probably move across the world, know nobody, and start a church and believe God for dinner, because we did that for you. But your generation is facing different things and different challenges. The sexuality challenge on our generation is enormous. You know, this is a generation that excuse my going there tonight, this is a generation that believes it's okay to abort babies, especially in the case of rape. Hello? Hello? God has a destiny for every life. This, you have the challenges in your generation. And one of the challenges is that your generation thinks you're entitled. Your generation thinks, I have rights, Jen. I have rights. I'm going there tonight, aren't you? You might never come back to this church, but at least I preach the gospel. I have rights, Jen. I know one that went to the cross, that laid down all his rights, that had never done anything wrong. And the reason he laid down his rights was he saw on the other side of the cross your face. And every time that I want to pick up my rights and I stand before God and I say, God, I just want to sit in a field with a dog and not preach anymore. And then God shows me faces, a lost generation, generation of young adults that are out there tonight feeling their thirst with sex and filling their thirst with alcohol and drugs because they don't have the precious thing that you have. And then I let go of my rights. I let go of what I think is restrictive because there are other lives that stand on the other side of that incredible decision. You know, I was talking to God about restriction. And the Holy Spirit proceeded to say to me, some restrictions and boundaries are mine. Now, I don't advise that you ever do what I just did, what I'm just about to say. Don't do this, right? Because you know when people say, oh, I'm going for a verse? Yeah. And it's like somebody went out and hung themselves, yeah. Like Judas, right? Don't do that. But in this instance, this was weird, right? So I was talking to God about restriction. And the Holy Spirit said, some restrictions and boundaries are mine. And I looked down on my page. That's why I'm putting the prerequisite out before, don't do this, okay? Hear me, but don't do what I do, okay? And it's Jeremiah 36, verse 5. And it says, I am restricted. I am not allowed to go to the Lord's temple. This was the weirdest verse. And I felt God say to me, yes, Jenny, you are restricted. And yes, Jen, you're not allowed to go some places, and some places you are allowed to go. And restriction that seems wall-like is not your restriction to break. It's erected as a God boundary. So when God asks you to be in the house of God, or to be in church or to be serving on a team or be whatever. It's a God boundary. Because God wants to create something so incredible in your life. And then I began to look through all the restrictions that I saw in my Bible. They're looking at me, Alice, like, who brought this girl in? Jeremiah 33, verse 1. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard. And then he goes into verse 3. Call to me, and I will answer you, my verse, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Jeremiah was confined, and God spoke. And then we read in Acts about Paul. In Acts 16:6, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. He kept him away from something and he kept him where he was. And sometimes we think we want to be Brian Houston overnight. And God wants you to smile at people at the door. But that is a God boundary, because guess what? In 33 years' time, I'm still smiling at people at the door, because the ministry is not about you, it's about people. So God constricts you until he can get hold of the good juice in your heart. And he puts the good stuff in you. This is so grandma-like tonight. Are you enjoying it? And then it says in Acts 16:6, kept up from preaching, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So some sense of restriction that you've got in your life right now is because the Spirit of Jesus is keeping you where you are. And we need to embrace our God restrictions. We need to embrace the things that God is placing on our lives right now, because he's carving out something to shape us. Let me talk about when Dave and I were youth pastors, because we once were. In actual fact, Dave and I joke that we've been youth pastors for 33 years. Because our church is so young. When we were youth pastors, we were in a church in the back streets of Brisbane. Now, Dave is a city guy, the civil engineering degree. His mum was a barrister. His dad had a doctorate in economics. And Dave had an office that looked out over a field with an old dying horse. And we had a pastor who loved country music. Steve, pipe down, you old guy. Dave is not a country music man. And for 5 years, we were restricted. Our song choices were restricted. What we could do was restricted. We got told off every 5 minutes. And do you know why? Because God knew he was going to move us across the world to plant Hope City Church. Wow. And because we bowed our knee to the restriction, God created in us what he needed to create in us to make us who we were meant to be. So if you're feeling that place of restriction tonight, submit to God's boundary for your life. Don't go off and be dumb and do stupid stuff. You know, don't make your pastors work so hard, for goodness sake. Right. Steve's going to kiss me for this, aren't you, Steve? We should never chase profile, but we should instead pursue influence. Restriction ensures that happens in you. Another thing about this generation, I've never taken glasses on and off so much. It's because if you want to see on Sunday on my iPad where my message is typed up, it's in large print, so I'll never need my glasses. And I forgot what I was just about to say. Oh, yeah, your generation. I sound so old when I say it, but I'm just speaking the truth tonight. Your generation pursues profile because you're taught that. When you're looking at someone's profile on Instagram, you're comparing your worst day to their best day. Because people only put shiny pictures up on Instagram. And your generation, you're being fed profile before character. And I want to say tonight, it's character before profile. Put your feet under the table and allow the God restrictions to harness you into your God future. Is anybody awake out there tonight? It's not that God wants to be unkind to you. He wants you to still be a Christian when you're 53. And if you pursue profile and you pursue all the thirsts, you'll find yourself out of the house of God and not serving God when you're old and long in the tooth like me. And you want your children and your children's children to be decorating the seats of church. Is anyone with me? Stick with God's restrictions. Thank God for his restriction and his purpose in it. Thank God also for his restriction in what he's given you, and don't pursue somebody else's lane. Don't we always want to be doing what somebody else is doing or be somebody else? Listen, Alice Freeman is the most party animal you could ever meet, right? You know when you do that personality test thing, right? I did it. Okay, I came out, so I don't know how you do the types here, but I came out 80% leader. I came out 17% melancholy, so deep thinker. 3 phlegmatic and no sanguine. Not a jot. Not a jot. So I have to work on my sanguine. And so I spent years wishing I was one of these super charismatic sanguine people that was the life of the party. I'm just not. I'm really boring. I get up here and I bring the word of God and then I go to bed. Because I've learned to run my lane. So if God's restricted you by the way he has made you, don't try and be anything else. It's not going to help you, and your friends are going to get really sick of you. So just run your lane. And thank God for my lane is prophecy. That's who I am. That's my gifting. Run it. I'm not a teacher. I'll never teach you on the tabernacle ever in my life. This is my restriction. This is my lane. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord." Your life and your steps tonight are actually in order. Stop for a moment. Your life and your steps tonight are actually in order. God's hand has not lifted off your life. Your life is in order tonight. Your boundaries are in place. Your life is being specifically managed and meticulously arranged. Did you know that God knows where you will live? God knows who you will marry. God knows how many kids you'll have. God knows where you'll end up. God knows what your ministry will look like. Acts 17:26 says, "And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands." Now I'm going to do what Dave says I should do. He says, "Jen, you do your best when you put your notes down." I want to see a move of God in Frankfurt. And moves of God are always off the back of youth and young adults. Always. And it takes consecration. And consecration is an old word, but it means a decision to associate with the sacred. And all my life, I've had to constantly have moments when I consecrate myself again. When I don't feel like it, which is most Sundays. For those of you that don't know me, I am a public speaker by obedience. I'm actually fairly shy. So I'm doing what I do by obedience because it's a God gift. I turn up and I keep leading by obedience, and God just keeps giving increase, and I'm freaking out most of the time, and then I just keep turning up. City Hearts now has 170 staff. Who knew I could do that? I didn't. But it's because I allowed God to restrict me. And if we want a move of God in our nation, we have to consecrate our lives. We can't be running off here, there, and everywhere doing what we want. Do you know, my beautiful mum Enid that brought me up, I have 12 brothers and sisters now? It's like the Waltons on speed. There's just so many. Oh my, I just keep appearing. My mum that brought me up said this, and she wasn't not far from wrong. She said, read your Bible, pray, and do as you're told. Do you know, she was pretty right. And I'm not being like, as a leader, do as you're told. I'm being, do as you're told. And you know when you're walking out of God constriction and God restriction, because you don't feel good about it. When you start running after profile instead of allowing God to build your character. When you go, oh, do you know what? No, I'm not going to be there at that because I'm out doing this, that, and the other, and God says you ought to be in my house, and you turn your back on restriction. You know, God wants to harness our lives, and he harnesses them in the house of God. And I'm just being really honest tonight. Sometimes that's hard, and sometimes that hurts, because we'd much rather be doing what our generation's doing exactly what we want. Having our rights. Pastor, I have rights. Yeah, you do, but the Bible says we have power to lay them down. And all you see in Dave and I is because for 33 years we've laid down our rights. Do you know, as a mum whose son lives 10,000 miles away for the last 6 years, that is not easy. But we keep laying down our rights because we're building God's house. Amen. I wonder if you'd stand with me. There is a real beautiful sense of the presence of God here tonight. And you know what we're going to do tonight? I wonder if we could have the rest of the band up. We're going to have an old-fashioned consecration service. Like the type that I used to find myself. And you know, when I was 15, 16, 17, 18, I didn't know what I was consecrating myself to. I didn't know I'd come and live in the coldest place on the planet for the rest of my life and that I would never see an Australian beach. I didn't know that. But I felt in my heart that I needed to say yes. Just needed to say yes. Our generation says no and no way every day. And if we want to see the power of God, do you know Germany needs Jesus so bad? Europe needs Jesus, and Britain definitely does. Lord God, they can't do politics very well. We're going to sing in a moment, and if you want to consecrate your future and your life, saying, God, I want to be who you want me to be, and whatever that means, I'm going to consecrate myself.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.